Craig, you missed it yesterday. It went as well as it could go. And I thought Banner was excellent, including some of the things he had to say about the Steelers at the half and how Pouncey was the most vocal guy in situations like that. That it would be Marquise Pouncey who would be screaming his head off and setting the tone in the locker room. And not so much Ben Roethlisberger, that in those moments it's Pouncey who does most of the talking.
I could see you guys thriving in that situation. Knowing there's a game on, you got to get creative.
I have an idea. I think that the three of us at some point should call a game for someone. Mike and
like
the Mad Dog.
Giannotti calls a Devils game.
Yes.
Now,
exactly. Boomer and Giannotti do a hockey game a year for WFAN. Back when I was growing up, Mike and the Mad Dog, the afternoon team in New York City, would do one Mets game a year. One afternoon Mets game, a getaway day in the middle of the summer, and they would turn a game that otherwise was just a run-of-the-mill, nobody really cares that much, summer afternoon game, and everybody would be interested in just hearing how they would do the game.
I love this idea.
And even if it's just a couple innings.
What sport do we do? Do we definitely do baseball?
I think a non-conference Pitt basketball game would be right up our alley.
I was going to say, I would rather do Pitt hoops above anything
else. Give us Pitt Nichols State, and we'll throw Julius on there with us, and it's the three of us and Craig doing sideline reporting, and I think you got yourself a game.
Sign me
right?
up.
I can check my Syracuse bias at the door for something like that.
Why? It might be more entertaining
if
you don't.
I'll only bring it up a few times. I'll have a quota.
What if you acted like you were Bobby Heenan doing, you know, oh, and there's another made three by Champagne. Where was that last week when I needed it on my bet? God, can you imagine Craig having action on the game and all of his comments as like a sideline reporter are informed by said action?
I've heard that's Musburger on Raiders games now that he's the play-by-play
yes.
guy. He was just absolutely incredulous that they were getting blown out by the Falcons, and he's like, the line in this game was 3, and the Raiders are down 43.
He was saying things like that.
Anyways.
But I think everyone just knows that about him now.
Well, yeah, now they play in Vegas, so, you know, it makes all the sense in the world. So I have put together, I have a list of 4 guys to replace Bud Dupree, okay? And I want to run this list of 4 by you. I will start by saying, honorable mention, guy that who did not make this list was Ola. I didn't feel, come on. I mean, Ola Adeniyi, that's a guy who was put on this earth for Bob Pompeiani to get excited about a play he makes with 3 minutes left in the Carolina Panthers' 4th preseason game. I mean, that's his lot in life. No offense to the guy. But he has made his mark on the Steelers in August. That's where he's made his biggest plays. And I don't see that changing. I don't see him as little, you know, another one of these Mac guys who needs to now take a picture with Ben Roethlisberger and Deontay Johnson when the Steelers beat the Jags. Like, he does not.
No.
So I have 4 guys, okay? I want to run them by you, and you tell me which one you like the best. Alex Highsmith, for starters. Rookie, 3rd-round pick, has played, never played more than 25 snaps in a game, has done, I think, a fairly nice job, has done fine. Doesn't seem like he gets overwhelmed when he's out there. I can't think of many times where he's committed a horrible penalty or just gotten abused. So the game doesn't seem like it's too big for him right now. But he's also just a rookie, and he was a walk-on at Charlotte, and I think they looked at him more as a developmental guy than somebody who they needed to plug and play right now. So that's option one. Option two is James Harrison. Charlie Batch floated that out there, and then Chris Hoke went on with the midday guys and said that's not totally out of the question. Number 3 is Clay Matthews, who is still a free agent. Number 4 is Terrell Suggs. Make a deal with the former Devil to help you out down the stretch. Highsmith, Harrison, Matthews, Suggs. List of possible replacements for Bud Dupree.
I'm going to go. I'll give you my order of those 4, and then I'll just explain number 1 in more detail. Highsmith, Suggs, Matthews, Harrison, in that order. Highsmith is my number one because I think the guy has shown a basic knack for playmaking ability, and I think what you the problem here is scheme. Like, I've been reading about this. I think Kabali wrote this for The Athletic, is that Bud Dupree was pretty good at dropping into pass coverage, doing all the little things sometimes at that position that don't get noticed as much. And now because Highsmith is deficient in pass coverage, they're going to have to ask TJ Watt to do that. Screw that. No way. Just sacrifice a little pass coverage. I want whoever's playing in place of Bud Dupree to be primarily concerned with setting the edge against the run, but overwhelmingly so with trying to get after the quarterback. Also, Highsmith showed me that he can learn on the fly with the way he dropped to pick off Lamar Jackson, probably the pivotal play to turn that game, that first Ravens game. Give me him first. Otherwise, like, you're talking about a bunch of old guys, basically. Old past their prime guys versus a third-round pick.
Old fogies.
Why did you pick Alex Highsmith? I don't care if he's developmental or not. You've put him in enough games that you cared about. Again, the first Ravens game. Why do you pick the guy in the third round if you're just going to put a fogie in? You know? And then if I were going to pick from the fogies, give me Terrell Suggs. Because I think Terrell Suggs is the kind of, like, psycho as far as motivation goes, that if he came here and he put on a Steelers jersey and he had even a quarterback hit or a sack or a deflection in his first game, I think it would be like people always used to say, if Scott Hartnell played for the Penguins, people here would love him. If Terrell Suggs came here and made some plays, he would be adored. You'd forget all about that hatred because he was helping the team out. And I think he's got the personality for it.
Yeah.
James Harrison, by the way, can we stop with the James Harrison stuff?
We didn't start it. Can we? Don't blame
me.
Blame former Steelers who brought it up.
Fine, I'll blame them, and then you brought it onto the show. You didn't have to. You could have ignored it, but you didn't. So I want the James Harrison stuff to stop right now.
Well, it's hard to ignore when guys who played with him say it's not out of the realm.
Do you think that they're unbiased
observers?
Do you think they're unbiased observers if they played with him and saw him at his best? Of course they'd have a higher opinion of him now at 42 than a lot of other people would.
I agree with that. There's also, though, the idea that he's not, you know, your normal 42. Just like Brady's not your normal 43. Just like Julio Franco was not the best hitter of the 1980s and 1990s, but was like 49 still playing in the big leagues.
Brady's still playing and making millions. Why, if James Harrison at 42 is not your average 42-year-old, why didn't some team already pick him up?
Good question.
He hasn't played in the league since 2017. If he is so alien,
yeah,
then
I would think
one of the GMs in the league would figure out that he can still go.
I didn't think that he was completely done at the end of his Patriots run. In fact, he was getting a lot of snaps for them in the Super Bowl. Like, he was not. I did not watch him at the end of his career with New England and think, this guy is so over the hill. Get him a wheelchair. Get him a walker. Get him the hell out of here.
It's been 3 years, though.
I know. But he also doesn't – I don't think the 3 years of rust are the same 3 years that they would be with other guys just because he's such a crazy athlete. I'm not a big fan of it either, but I'm just saying the idea that somebody that knows their scheme inside and out, has a relationship with the Steelers, has played for the Steelers, and is not your cookie-cutter 42-year-old man who is 3 years out of football is also a factor in why some of his former teammates have said – the Steelers should look into him. I like the Matthews idea. Honestly, if you can make the money work with him, and why not? Because I think you could use, Chris, how about this? I think you could use the same logic. I don't like Suggs as much. I think Matthews has more left than Suggs. I think you can use the same logic that the Chiefs did in bringing in Suggs last year. Suggs got waived by the Cardinals in week 12. So right around the same time as now, got picked up by Kansas City, and then he was getting 30-plus snaps a game in the playoffs for them. Like, he was not just a guy that sat on the bench and brought pom-poms to the game and cheerleaded. He was a nice piece for them. He was a guy that helped.
He was enough of a threat to be an asset to their defense.
Yeah, and like everything you're saying about the intricacies of playing for the Steelers and dropping into coverage and stuff and in the 3-4 and zone defense, zone blitz and all that, I guess is true, but Clay Matthews did just last year have 8 sacks. It's not like he was a total bum for the Rams.
For youth, yeah, of the three Methuselahs here that we're talking about, Clay Matthews is by far the youngest and has very recently had a productive season, which is the entire reason I didn't say him, because at 34, not completely ancient as an edge rusher. Like, we've seen Julius Peppers into his late 30s be great. Why is Clay Matthews not getting work right now? Does that not raise your antenna as to something that could be wrong? You see a 34-year-old guy that produced last year, and he can't get a bite from anybody? That makes my Spidey sense go off a little bit.
Here goes
here.
Your Spidey sense again. This is day two of that,
yesterday.
Craig. Now,
yeah, it won me
now
some money
Mueller
yesterday.
Is calling like he's giving his innate sense of being able to figure out things without always the best logic as just the Spidey sense gut that is dictating his opinions.
Has one good week of picks, and all of a sudden, Gutty's back.
Well, let's see. 11-5 my last 2 weeks in picks to get right back in the thick of things. Made some money on the Ravens plus 10.5 yesterday. You guys might want to listen to the old Gutty Spidey sense, the Gutty sense here. Just saying.
Do you think that Alex Highsmith right now is a better football player than Clay Matthews?
Yes.
You do?
Actually. Yeah, because there's just something inherently wrong with why Clay Matthews has not gotten a bite.
I have liked what I've seen from Highsmith, but I also wonder if you run into an overexposure thing with him. That it's fine right now when he's in a part-time role where he's getting 10 to 15 snaps a game defensively. What happens when you double that or even potentially have to triple that? Then what?
Here's the other thing, though, about this entire discussion. Why are we excluding Hayward, Tuitt, and those guys from the generalized pass rushing discussion? Because I think when people talk about Bud Dupree not playing, they say, well, you miss his ability to get to the quarterback. And it's almost like he's not even discussed in terms of him being a linebacker. I know he was second on the team in sacks with 8, but like Tuitt has 7. Hayward has shown an ability to be a big-time sack artist. Like, why are we not discussing why those guys couldn't just step up and do more to pressure the quarterback?
Mm. Well, we are, but they need to put 11 guys on the field, and they need to find 2 good outside
linebackers.
Yeah,
I think that's why Highsmith is the easiest answer here. And by the way, if we look at the way they handled Spillane versus Avery Williamson so far, and I know this could change, I don't know if it's reasonable to expect, even with the supposed simplicity of just go and get the quarterback at outside linebacker, if they brought in somebody outside the organization, that they'd automatically start playing them more than Highsmith just because they're a proven veteran.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Williamson is now starting to eat into Spillane a little bit for the first time. In yesterday's game, Spillane played 44 snaps and Williamson played 25. So that's the closest it's been. It's still... You know, 2 out of every 3 snaps Spillane, but beforehand it was all Spillane and no Williamson. They're starting to give him more opportunities. So, all right, fair enough.